Everybody, welcome back to Is This a Ghost? And it usually is. My name's Clayton Smith, and every week I tell a real ghost story from real history to my real friend, Patrick Dean, who doesn't take it real seriously.
Ugh, but who is real loose this week.
Feeling good, huh?
Real loose.
Real loose. Real loose. As the listener flies, I, Clayton Smith, have moved into a new house in a different state and am probably missing all my stuff.
What day does this come out?
This comes out. This has got to. Well, actually, this probably comes out July. This is July.
Let's see how my life is different.
I'm probably fine by now.
Right.
I like, probably found my stuff.
Medically?
Medically, no. No. Got to get a new primary now because I'm moving to Virginia.
I'm probably on vacation when this comes out. Probably. So I'm probably listening to this.
July 1st?
On the beach. Oh, July 1st?
Yeah. So no, sorry. Monday. July 3rd.
Yeah, definitely on the beach.
On the beach? Which beach?
Definitely on the beach. I'm not going to tell you what beach.
Just tell us all what beach.
No.
We're not going to show up there like a bunch of weirdos.
I know. I know you. I'll whisper.
Okay.
No.
It's Table Rock, isn't it? You're going to Table Rock.
It absolutely is. It's more of a rock beach than anything. Yeah. It's a lot of cinder blocks, more than you'd expect. Some retaining stones mixed in.
We just went to the beach at Table Rock this weekend, and it's called Moonshine Beach, which I thought is it's a very endearing name for a beach.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Moonshine Beach. Are you allowed to bring alcohol to Moonshine Beach?
No, you are not. Ironically, you are not.
Which is kind of a big shit right there. Yeah. Kind of a big shit.
Yeah, and you can try to sneak it in, but it's run by the Army Corps of Engineers, and they're not messing around. So
you would think that the engineering side of that would be a little more nerdy, but no. M16s all the way around.
Yeah, weird. It's intimidating.
It's hard to put them into the little pocket protector up on the shirt, but they figure it out.
Life finds a way, man. Very impressive. Oh, man. So, I guess I probably found all my stuff by now. So it's July. It's a good... hey, by the way, July, I may be in... July 3rd. I may have maybe over already, but I'm playing Codenames, the Summer Bash again, which is a big tournament. Codenames tournament.
No way.
Yeah.
That's great.
So I'm playing with my friend Noah Hawthorne, who you know, our old golfing buddy Noah.
Absolutely.
He is the I've been on Codenames maybe half a dozen times at this point. Mm-hmm. And Noah is the first person who's ever reached out to me to ask if he could be on my team to play Codenames.
Okay. So you've basically just like churned through all of your friends.
Oh, yes. Yeah. The only other person who I think would want to play that I could ask is Aaron, except bedtime always makes it very difficult because one of us has to put these kids to bed while the other one has drinks and plays Codenames. Mm. So Noah and I are doing that. So we're playing. I know July 1st is our first game. Mm. And then if we win that one, we're going to keep on playing. So I don't know. Oof. Check your local listings, everybody. Check your internet listings.
Wow.
Maybe doing some Codenames this week.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Is Tatiana going to be on there again, or do you know? Or?
You know what? Actually, funny story about that. Last time I was on, we asked that question, and I think she's not coming back because she did come back a second time. Because, as you know, once you're on, you're invited to come back.
Absolutely.
You have anytime. Just declined the invitation, but not everyone does. Apparently, she did come back, and during the show, people were just asking her, like, hey, what's going on with She-Hulk?
Right.
And she was like, she's like, just, between you and me. She's like, just between us. Like, I don't think it's going to have a second season. And apparently there was some sort of reporter, I guess, in Codenames. Because the next morning, news broke on the internet that on internet game show Codenames, Tatiana Maslany broke the news there would be no season 2 of She-Hulk.
Wow.
And that became something of an issue for her and her publicist. Well. And so I don't think she's coming. Tim doesn't seem very convinced that she's coming back. But I looked today before because they play on Monday nights. And as we're recording, they're playing right now. Mm. They probably just wrapped up. And you know who's playing tonight is Donnie.
Really? Donnie from Orphan Black. Really?
Orphan Black. Yes, indeed.
Huh.
He's playing tonight. Wow. So he's no Tat, but he's pretty close. Right.
So I don't remember which Marvel hero was Donnie from Orphan Black again? I don't remember.
Getting your universes mixed up, I think, again, Pat. I think it's if Donnie were going to be a superhero in the Marvel universe,
yes,
Marvel Cinematic Universe from Orphan Black, if that were to be absorbed into what would Donnie would be?
Mm.
Gosh, that's tough.
Yeah. I'm thinking just Shield Agent.
He would be
just
old Shield Shazam. Like there was a, there's an old Shazam. There is a Alex Ross did Kingdom Come, little miniseries where all the superheroes are like super old.
Right.
Now Shazam goes under the mind control, if I remember correctly, of someone, and he's really old and just kind of like put on a few pounds. Mm-hmm. But you know, Shazam's always a little lighthearted anyway. I think he could be old Shazam.
Okay.
Could be fun. Yeah, I think expendable Shield Agent is probably that's probably Donnie's bag.
Shield Agent that dies in the credits. That's pretty much going to be done.
He gets some lines with Nick Fury for sure. But he's
but it's mostly like, here's your coffee, Mr. Fury.
Yeah,
kind of stuff.
A lot of spills, I think. And then
he falls down the stairs and tragically dies.
Yeah, and you think he's dead, but then he's not going to be in the post credits. In the mid credits scene, he pops up again and he's fine.
Yeah, but and he still has the coffee, which is important.
Yeah, but then his head gets blown off. Like a scroll or something. Yeah, I think that's most likely. Asked
well, good
and
for him.
Answered. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
And so hopefully he doesn't like mention that during the episode.
Or else it's over for him.
Jesus Christ, Tim's going to get taken off the internet.
Poor Tat. I should message her and see how she's doing.
You should. Yeah. You absolutely should.
Best friends.
Yeah. Are you going to be living near her now?
I don't know where she's living. I mean, she's definitely in, she splits time, I think.
Right.
She's Canadian, so I won't be, I don't know. I'll be further, I think.
That's fair.
I'll go south.
That's fair.
And I'm not going to Google it to find out because we don't have that kind of relationship. And, she's already stopped responding to me and I don't want to receive any official legal mail or anything. So I'm just going to let that go. Oh, boy. Anyway, do you want to hear a ghost story?
Love to.
This one, I've been so busy. This is where I started. If you weren't here last week, as I said 15 minutes ago, I've been so busy. I have not done research on this podcast for a while now. And tonight's story comes to us from our social media manager, Kai Valonis. So thank you so much, Kai. And I will tell you, I'll remind you, Patrick and everybody, last time Kai did a story for us, it was the Sonny Bean incest cannibal story.
Oh, my God. God.
So, you know, Kai goes hard. So I don't know what this is. I haven't read it yet. Haven't even skimmed it. No idea what I'm about to read, but I'm pretty excited about it.
Jesus, please don't be the same. The same thing.
Well, let's find out. You ready?
Dong.
Yes. In the late 1770s, the area below what is now Chattanooga, Tennessee, was being overtaken by westward expansion, but it was already occupied, of course, by the Cherokee people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if you know about American history. We don't have a background of really caring about about people who are living here already.
Oil and water, really.
Yes.
That's...
Yeah. Believing that the lands comprising much of present-day Kentucky and Tennessee would soon be under British control, Daniel Boone rolls into town, and he advises North Carolina land speculator Richard Henderson that the Cherokee could be interested in selling some of their land holdings.
Sure. Yeah.
Of course.
Why wouldn't they?
Daniel Boone, Missouri here. Oh, it's getting loose. Oh, it's the late show. Patrick's now. Are you holding the microphone now?
No, it keeps falling down. I keep tightening it, like uncomfortably tight, and it keeps falling down. So I'm pretty sure it's going to snap off at some point.
That microphone is drunk.
Which is fine. okay. And what would the entire Cherokee Nation want to take as payment for two fucking states worth of land?
Oh, gosh. Maybe some Kleenex? Because they're about to go on the Trail of Tears, my friend.
Not great. Not great for them.
Was it a good joke, though? Let's see. So between March 14th and 17th of 1775, Daniel Boone and his Richard Henderson fellow and some others negotiated with Cherokee leaders at Sycamore Shoals of the Watauga River at Elizabethton, Tennessee. The Cherokee were indeed persuaded at the Treaty of Sycamore Shoals to sell an enormous tract of land. Wow, and Kai's got a number here. You want to guess how much land they were tricked into selling? How many acres?
Five.
Okay, it's more than that. 20 million acres.
Hmm. That seems like a lot.
It is a lot. It included all of what is now the state of Kentucky and present day Middle Tennessee.
Okay.
That's a lot of land.
Hmm. Yeah.
Now, the treaty was disavowed by some of the chiefs, which sure were like, hey, hold on a second.
I missed one email, and this is really what happens? This is not cool.
I had my out-of-office message up. You knew I was going to be away for two more days. one of those who disagreed with the entire ordeal and knew that his people had been cheated in the negotiations was, oh boy.
Oh, please. Straight out. Please.
No, Chickamauga.
Ooh.
Is what I'm going to say.
with an eyebrow raised and everything. Yeah, I said that. Sure.
Chickamauga Cherokee war chief named Dragging Canoe. Kai has some asterisks here. Let's see if they show up somewhere.
Dragging Canoe. We
usually don't do footnotes here, Kai, because it kind of breaks up the flow a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Oh, the Chickamauga.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Not that one. Lower Cherokee.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then the other note here is Dragging Canoe. There's another name here that is even more impossible. Sayu Gansini. Mm-hmm.
Right. Oh, mm-hmm. I remember.
Known as Dragging Canoe. He earned his name as a child by hiding a canoe to join a war party against his father's wishes. His father, whose name is definitely Atakulakula. Discovered him and said moving it to the river by himself was the only way he could go with them. So he did indeed successfully drag the canoe over the sand. And they became Dragging Canoe.
As a devout, unabashed Moana lover, I must say, this guy is my favorite character we've ever portrayed in this entire.
Okay. Now, you know, Moana is, that's a different kind of part of the world.
Right. Yeah.
This is Tennessee and that's kind of Hawaii.
Yeah.
And,
I mean, but you know, I don't know either of these people. So it's all the same thing to me.
Okay. So during the negotiations, Dragging Canoe was furious and he cursed the land during the illegal Treaty of Sycamore Shoals.
Whew.
He vowed that no one would be able to live on the land as it would become, quote, a dark and bloody ground, thereby dooming all future inhabitants.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, it turned into Kentucky, so he's mostly right.
So, nailed it. Kai does have parentheses here. This becomes important later. Now, that's putting a hat on a hat. I think we're good here. Boy, oh boy. Let's see. You do not want to mess with Native American curses. If the movie Poltergeist has taught us anything,
yeah,
you gotta let that.
They're the most serious of curses. Yeah, there's not one above that.
No, it's the highest one. Mm-hmm. Dragging Canoe also predicted that selling the land would result in the extinction of the Cherokee. Which
okay,
you know,
seems prescient.
Pretty good. Yep.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
The land was sold anyway. Against his wishes, it would go to the privately owned Transylvania Land Company. Yikes.
Okay, we'll sell just as long as the company we sell to isn't patently evil. Oh, well, I mean, their owner is quirky, but I think you'll grow to like him. He mostly comes out in the evenings.
He's got great taste for blood and
he's actually coming over in a ship right now. I hear it's quite eventful.
He's coming over in a ship loaded down with 30 tons of dirt. I'm not quite sure why. It's interesting, huh? Although land sales to private companies violated British law and Virginia and North Carolina law, the treaty nevertheless became the basis for the colonial settlement of that area. Boy, that's great. In exchange, do you want to know what the Cherokee received in exchange for the land?
That Count Dracula would leave them alone. I don't really know.
Come on, no. He's not going to invest in that. That's his meal ticket. What do you think he's buying there? It's cattle. No, in exchange for the land, the Cherokee received trade goods valued, according to some scholars, at approximately 10,000 British pounds.
Oof. Okay.
And there's more asterisks here. Let's see. Oh, this is helpful. Okay, so here. Guy has a little addendum here. In 1770, you could buy the following with 10,000 British pounds. You could buy 1,459 horses.
That's a lot of horses.
That's a lot of horses. Mm-hmm. You could buy 2,141 cows.
Huh. Okay. I guess horses are that better. Much more valuable.
We all know they're better.
I mean, but you can't eat a horse.
Let's finally... excuse me. Yeah. You can eat a horse, okay? Let me tell you. You can eat a horse. You could buy 21,276 stones of wool.
Okay. That's probably like a... like a ball? Like a
bale?
Like a ball of wool?
Maybe a bale of wool?
That's a lot of wool. That's
a lot of wool. Make a lot of summer wear out of that wool. You could buy 6,134 quarters of wheat.
Mm-hmm.
That is.
Sure. You're going to need that for all the cows, obviously.
Yeah.
This becomes less of a good deal the further we go.
Yeah, you got to split in half. Yeah. Well, the cows need the wheat. And also, if you translate it into wages of skilled tradesmen, that's 100,000 days of wages. So,
okay.
I don't know. I'm starting to think this is a pretty good deal. And they definitely should have taken it.
And they get that much further away from Dracula. So.
All right. Let's see. Where are we here? Back to the front because there's footnotes and it's hard to scroll. Henderson moved quickly to consolidate his claim because he's like, this is illegal as shit. And he constructs a road to the proposed settlements and initiated the system of government under the authority of the Transylvania Company. All the contracts are written and signed in blood, and that seemed fine. No problems.
No one complains for very long. And
a lot of talking heads in that government, though. Talking heads on pikes. It turned out Dragon Canoe was right about his people being cheated. Shockingly, each Cherokee man received much less than he could make in a year hunting the same territory from the payout of the treaty. I guess you can hunt a lot of horses out there. You can.
They're real dumb.
A lot of horse food out there.
Yeah. A handful of oats and just knock them over the head and poof.
Well, it depends if they're taller or smaller than the wheat because, as we know, you see them out there and you're like, you sons of bitches. I got
the hard part is finding them. I will give you that. Yes, they are sneaky devils.
And you're like, you man or a horse? I don't know. Either way, I'm killing you. Killing you dead. Cherokee leadership subsequently repudiated the treaty, saying that they thought permission was only being granted for grazing rights, and that the trade goods allegedly given for land purchase were payment for damages Cherokees had suffered at the hands of white marauders.
Oh.
And they're just going back on the word.
Yeah, this is why you get a good lawyer and things like this. I don't know.
Gosh, I hate to take sides against the indigenous people here, but I mean...
Real estate attorney doesn't cost that much, you know, and really it protects both parties.
Really, truly. It's a solid investment. White settlers and the Transylvania Company enforced the disputed treaty with force, surprising no one. Mm-hmm. So Dragon Canoe left the tribe and began to wage war on his own against the white settlers.
Oh, okay.
This guy's great. There should be a Disney movie about him.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Who do you think would voice Dragon Canoe?
Oh, I think Mel Gibson would want to be that guy. That's I don't think they'd let him though.
No, I don't think they'd let him do stuff anymore.
Yeah. Boy. Probably The Rock. Probably The Rock at
they
this
would
point.
Probably make The Rock. Yeah. Here's an idea. Flowing out. Al Pacino. Get off my land. Hoo-ah!
With music by Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Got his singing voice. Okay, the long and bloody 18-year Cherokee War began in July of 1776 with battles between the invading settlers and the Cherokee forces led by Dragon Canoe. 18 years, that's a long war. The war chief had said, in sadness and anger, that the colonists had, quote, surrounded us, leaving only a little spot of ground to stand upon, and it seems to be their intention to destroy us as a nation.
I mean,
seems yeah, right.
It's, yeah.
I don't know what it was like back then, but I'll tell you what, the benefit of hindsight, I think he's onto something. Dragon Canoe was right. It was a land that was now dark and bloody. Now, I will say Dragon Canoe also made it dark and bloody.
Well, yeah, but at the same time.
Oh, I'm not saying he was in the wrong. No. Yep. He's, but it's like, if I tell you, Patrick, you were going to die in that basement, and I come over and I slit your throat in your basement.
Right.
I mean, I was right. Oh, let's see. Below Chattanooga was a section of the river called the Narrows, or the Tennessee River Gorge. Now, this is a very dangerous part of the river where there are whirlpools and rocky shoals, which were especially treacherous. The whirlpools were so well known, they had their own names, which were the frying pan.
Okay.
The skillet.
Yeah, it's a stretch. Yeah.
The boiling pan.
Oh, okay.
And this is Kai's favorite, the big suck.
Same.
Oh, man.
What happened to your mom again? She died in the frying pan? No. She got
the big suck.
She got the big suck.
She went down.
Rest in peace.
She went down, as they do. The big
Rest
suck.
In peace, mom. You died as you lived.
Going down for the big suck. The waters here were considered sacred by the Cherokee.
Obviously. I mean, I wouldn't let anybody in those waters. I'd be like, no. It's not your turn.
No.
This is.
Oh, man. So they're sacred, and it was believed that the souls of their ancestors were in the water, which is pretty gross, really.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's your family, dude. That's it's not okay.
Swim too close to the whirlpools, and an ancestor would grab you by the ankle and pull you into their world.
Mm.
Boy, everyone wants a piece. This valley of the Whirlpool Rapids had not been tamed by the turn of the 20th century. You can't tame the big suck.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure what the plan is there exactly.
Oh, you certainly want to stop the big suck.
Mm.
Let's do a thing. 113 years after the death of Dragon Canoe. Well, that's a leap, huh? 113 years after Dragon Canoe's death, construction begins on the Hales Bar Lock and Dam.
Oh, they will try to tame the suck. Not gonna happen. Not gonna happen.
Contain the suck. The big suck, get out of here. Mm-hmm. Small suck, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. No. The big suck?
Mm-mm.
No. Come on. So they started building this dam in the fall of 1905. Its purpose was to improve navigation on this particularly hazardous expanse of river and to provide electricity to Chattanooga.
Hmm.
Yeah. The big suck does charge you up. However, the same thing was happening again over a century later. Companies inspired by greed didn't care about the land nor its history. Even the people building the dam were disposable. Oh, in 1905, I guess this is. So they're just taking the land for themselves again. Different people, same story, taking the land for themselves.
Yep.
The project employed thousands of men, requiring the construction of a village to feed and house the workers and their families. All these guys wanted to go. I don't know why. Yeah. Sorry, what's the project called?
I
saw in the paper.
Am I too late? I kept the ad. Do I need the ad when I get here? No?
So we take our pants off and just jump in? How does this work?
Quick, my wife's getting very warm in the car. I don't want to... I don't want to keep her waiting.
I haven't told her why we're here. But I think she's going to be interested. Since thousands of men worked three shifts around the clock in wet and muddy conditions without strong safety regulations, it's not surprising there were injuries and fatalities.
Mm-hmm.
A boiler explosion took the life of one man. A falling derrick, I suppose like an oil derrick, crushed out the lives of two others. Could be just a man derrick who was big, got sucked too hard. Fell right over, killed two men.
Oh, no, I'm passing out. Watch out, everyone beneath.
Big suck is not for the faint of heart. And
unfortunately, it's like an ATM. You got to give a lot of room when you're waiting in line. You don't want to stand right up close to it because what if Derek falls? Then you're dead.
Then you're dead. And one poor soul had his foot entangled in a rope and was pulled underwater and drowned before he could be saved. In 1906.
Again, no regrets. No regrets.
Worth every second.
Put it right on the tombstone.
I died so hard. I loved it.
I didn't float back to the surface for a month. I'll tell you that much.
Oh, man. In 1906, a worker was shot and killed by an unknown gunman. And another fell from a rock crusher and was severely injured.
Mm-hmm.
Guild, who was the name of the project engineer, died from an ear infection in 1907. Oh, no.
Just constant violence. including ear infections.
Yeah, it's wild out there. Gotta be careful. Be careful. He died of a big owie in 1907 before the dam was completed. In 1911, the body of one of the Hales, I guess one of the Hales himself, maybe, was found run over on the railroad tracks that led to the dam. Ugh.
Ugh.
I would guess there are halves, maybe two halves of a body.
Yeah.
That's a tough way to go. Let's see. Yet another murder occurred in 1912. Apparently, at least three men fell into concrete that was being poured. And their bodies were never recovered because you don't want to mess up that work.
Yeah.
Three men fell into concrete being poured.
Hmm.
That feels like that's a mob hit.
Yeah. I mean, unless like one guy fell in and the next guy was like, I can get this guy. And then the third guy was like, well.
So we're all going? Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go. I'm in. Let's go. Yeah.
You two are my life. How can I live without you two?
More issues plagued the construction. There were accidents, illnesses. There was racial tension and unexplained deaths. And besides work fatalities, there were also murders at the camps. So along with shootings, there was one incident where a gentleman was struck across the neck with a heavy bench, killing him instantly.
With a bench?
Now that's Dracula.
That
for sure.
Do you know how heavy a bench is?
How do you? That's a precision hit, man. How do you even hit a neck with a bench?
That's definitely one of those. I bet you can't pick up that bench. Oh, you don't think I can pick up the bench? You don't think so? Really?
You definitely can't swing that bench.
I bet if I lay down on the floor, you can't kill me with the bench.
$20? All right, I'm in. So a guy got hit across the neck with a bench, killing him instantly. Two black men were killed by two white men, but they were not accused of murder.
Okay.
So that's the note that I have for that. While the project was to be completed by 1907, and then it was pushed back again to 1909, anything that could go wrong did. The company had financial troubles. They had poor foundation conditions of the dam. Oh, it was built on soft bedrock and shale.
Which is they kept using bodies as filler in the concrete. It just doesn't hold up as well as rebar. It's odd.
And of course, there were floods.
Mm-hmm.
The worst flood happened in April 1911 with an avalanche of water washing out bridges and damaging train trestles so the trains could not run. Now, the benefit of this is no one is being run over by trains while trains are not running. So that's good. Let's see. Soon after completion, wooden flashboards, or quote-unquote curtains, were tacked into the crest to increase the opening... No, the operating pool.
Yeah.
Do you know what this means?
Yeah, all of it. Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay, I'm just going to read this then. Soon after completion, wooden flashboards or curtains were tacked into the crest to increase the operating pool from 636 to 639 feet deep, which would increase the operating capacity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it basically...
They make a taller dam?
Yeah. They turn it into like a pool. It's like you build up the sides of the pool, and the pool can get deeper, right?
Sure.
And you want that. That's what you want.
In a dam.
You want some shallow pool. In a dam. You want a deep dam. Yeah. You want a big suck.
Sure.
All the way down.
Yeah. Okay.
Go on.
Okay. however, they didn't take into account that the water would ruin additional land behind the dam.
Right.
You build a bigger dam.
Water goes up.
Spreads out.
And then... Yeah, and now you come back to the camp and you're like, wait, where's the camp? Oh shit!
We did build it very close to the water. flashboards raised water levels in the upstream portion of the river that originally wasn't supposed to be underwater, resulting in the flooding of local communities. It feels like they could have one engineer on this project would have.
I wish I could use these powers for good. I really do.
One town that the creation of the dam flooded contained the old town graveyard. Oh, no. That's not what you want. And none of the bodies were disentombed.
Okay.
I guess that's good, right? It's written here as if that's a bad thing.
I think it's a good thing. Disentomb, what I would assume means like...
Floating away.
Floating away, right?
Yeah.
You don't want that. Sure. But now they are underwater.
Well, so now that place is no definitely that. Fucking haunted.
Yeah.
You can't move the bodies. That's true. Let's see. Oh, there's more. You could see three headstones peering out of the water 70 yards from the bank where Dry Creek empties into the lake. Oh, that is. That's unsettling.
Okay, yeah. That's definitely one of those. You come back at the end of the day like, oh, no, we really fucked this up. This is...
These are the graves of Henry Moses and Sarah. No, Henry, comma, Moses, comma, and Sarah Long. Henry, okay. Moses, and Sarah. Henry died in 1875. Sarah died in 1860. Moses' birth is noted as November 25th, 1880. That's what that word says. Mm-hmm. But the date of death is illegible.
Because of the underwaterness.
Because you can't open your eyes underwater.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
No one has yet taken goggles to it, so they're not sure.
The water, very gross. We don't really want to go in there.
Very gross. It was also never confirmed if all the citizens of those towns were successfully evacuated before the water levels rose to consume them. I guess no one checked. Said, listen, it's Schrodinger's town right now. Yeah. If we don't ask, then no one has died, even if... Everyone has died.
Who can explain really why the water level rose precipitously all morning on the day we were working on the dam? Maybe nature did it. Maybe God.
Maybe it's the ghost of Dragon Canoe. Come back to take revenge. I bet it was those danged Indians. With the best modern technology of the time utilized, the dam still leaked. In fact, a group known as the Rag Gang... was hired to walk around and plug leaks for $1 a day. They would use any products available to them, a grout or a rag if the leak was small.
Right. Sure.
mattresses and wagon loads of corsets if there was a particularly large or difficult leak.
What? I'm sorry. Wagons?
You stuff corsets. You really stuff corsets in there.
Right, yeah. I'm more interested in where we're getting the wagon loads of corsets. Please don't be from the graveyard. Please.
From the graveyard. For sure.
They keep floating to the top. A lot of these ladies, they were very, very vivacious.
Men keep ordering them in because they don't know what the big suck is, and they are so confused. Every time a new guy comes to town...
Do I give this to the big suck? I don't know. I'd just rather have one than not.
Just in case. And there are just so many around. Let's plug the dam with them. Many people said the reason for the leaks was due to the many workers who fell to their deaths during construction of the dam and were entombed in the concrete. Because they fell in and they were left there, mm-hmm. which compromised the structural integrity of the dam's walls. Do you think that's true?
I mean, if they were in corsets, yeah, absolutely. It'll go right through that shit.
What about like a classic dude, though? Like mm-hmm. a dude in dude clothes.
Normal, naked dude.
Normal.
In the concrete.
Hold on a second. I didn't say naked. I don't know. I think maybe normal clothed dude. Mm-hmm.
I would say that probably would hurt the integrity of the concrete, because now you have like a void, right? A void filled with dude.
Sure.
And dude is not as strong as concrete.
Now, dude, is dude going to disintegrate inside that concrete? Is he preserved?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. He's going to break down.
Okay. So that's going to be a big hole.
Yeah. It'll be like dude jelly after a few years.
Okay. So it's like a big lots of dude shaped pretty holes much. Here.
Yep.
Not what you want.
Dude void.
In a dam?
Definitely not.
This dam was finally finished in 1913. But things didn't end with the completion of the dam in Locke. There were 11 reported deaths after its completion. Some of them included children. So, way to laugh. Wow, you monster. Mm,
I mean, they're adults now.
I don't think they are. I don't think they ever will be. There was a dimly lit tunnel that ran underneath the dam that the kids had to pass through each day to get to school.
This doesn't seem like my fault anymore. I don't know.
Oh, man. It is said that at least 2 children perished during one of the leaks in the tunnel. The narrow tunnel served as a common passage across the river for not only the children, but workers as well. Mm-hmm. Some say that official documents show no actual accounts of children's deaths in the tunnels, but records aren't always kept with the best of intentions nor accuracy. Mm-hmm. So they put a bridge on top of this dam?
I don't know a lot about dam construction, but I'm pretty sure you don't put a tunnel under the dam.
I think I know why the dam is so bad.
The dam has one job. And it's to not have any holes. That's like all it does.
Now you've got dude holes and tunnel holes. Mm-hmm. This is a bad dam. In 1919, the leaks had become so bad that engineers had to repair the dam with anything available, from asphalt or hay bales to blankets and old mattresses. Now, is hay particularly, water proof?
Yeah, I mean, it's better than corsets, obviously, but definitely not better than dude. So sure. It's somewhere in between dude and corset.
Okay, great. By 1931, the dam was leaking at a rate of 1,000 cubic feet per second. That sounds like a lot, right?
That's a whole bunch.
I've never seen 1,000 cubic feet all at once together, but that sounds like a lot every second.
Yeah.
Boy, that's not a dam. Mm-hmm. That's a sieve. Mm-hmm. In 1939, Hales Bar came under the authority of the Tennessee Valley Authority. Mm-hmm. It took 4 years, but by 1943, they had succeeded in finally stopping the leaking.
Wow.
But this was only temporary. By the late 1950s, the leaking had resumed at a rate of about 2,000 cubic feet per second. They did a bad job. Since this dam never functioned properly, a new dam was built 6 miles downstream completed in 1967. Mm-hmm. Should have done that from the fucking jump.
Yeah.
They call this dam the Nickajack.
Mm. Or the working dam.
The one that does. The one that does what dams do. Hales Bar Dam was finally demolished.
Mm-hmm. They just like blow on it or something.
It's pushed really hard.
Yeah.
This flooded the area behind it, which included a cemetery filled with hundreds of graves of mostly children who had died during the 1918 Spanish flu epidemic. Mm.
Okay.
Boy, they're just...
It's bad. They can't catch a break.
Yeah. It is said these children now haunt the area as well. Mm-hmm. Now only scant ruins and the powerhouse remain. Due to the hundreds of deaths in and around Hales Bar Dam during its construction and operation, and the battles here between Chief Dragon Canoe and the settlers, Hales Bar Dam is considered by the paranormal community as the number one most haunted structure in Tennessee.
Oof.
And number 4 in the United States.
Wow, I mean, that's saying something.
That's a lot. Tennessee? There's a lot of haunted places in the United States.
Clearly.
Also, the most haunted dam in the world.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And there are several. Today, the area of Hales Bar Dam is host to Hales Bar Marina and Resort. A long, dark building with an even longer, darker past.
Oh. Okay. Do they bait too, or is it?
Let's see. Let's keep going. The Hales Bar Dam powerhouse is all that remains of the demolished Hales Bar Dam. Some sections are used for dry dock and storage, but the majority of it is left empty. Visitors and employees have seen apparitions and shadows. They have heard and seen footsteps that actually kick up dust, even though I guess there's not dust to kick up. And they have heard children's voices chanting and crying. Others have reported seeing a strange figure on the catwalk, believed to be the restless spirit of War Chief Dragging Canoe himself.
Like, very confused about the catwalk.
Yeah, I don't know where that comes from.
Yeah.
Classic resort catwalk. Visitors to the tunnels, why are there still tunnels? I wouldn't go down there. Visitors to the tunnels claim to hear and record ghostly voices. People see shadow figures in the buildings. Loud footsteps have been heard, and cold spots have been encountered. While waiting for a tour to begin, there was a loud howl recorded by a group touring the dam. They were facing toward the control room and heard a long howl followed by a high-pitched scream. Oh, and you can hear it here. Do you want
to
hear it?
Hey, I would love to.
It's a YouTube link.
Let's see. Will that work on our thing?
Can you hear this?
No.
Okay, can't hear that. Let's see. Hold on a second. All right, see if this works. Share sound. There we go. There we go. Oh. Share audio. Please install the Zoom audio device.
Don't do that. I wouldn't do that.
Okay. Well, I'll just send you here. I'll send you the link, and we can watch it together.
Cool.
How's that sound?
I love that idea.
Great for the listening public, I think.
Man, your suggested YouTube videos are so bad. One of them was I wore toe spacers for 2 years.
I only use YouTube for this podcast.
Why is that your suggested video? That is not okay. I don't know. Okay. I'm opening it. Playing it. That was nothing.
There's nothing.
The whole thing, that was nothing.
There's nothing.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Kai.
Okay. I mean,
we'll just skip that. You know what? Call all mentions of that from here. Let's take this again. They were facing towards the control room and heard a long howl followed by a high-pitched scream. Gosh, I bet that sounded terrifying.
I bet it was so scary and real.
Let's see. The disembodied voices of children can be heard throughout the dam, and people report having their hair and shirts tugged by invisible hands. That's sounds a big like suck kids. Coming for you.
Yeah.
A presence called Chris, who allegedly murdered... most unassuming ghost name, Chris. Who allegedly murdered a young girl named Linda, has been seen throughout the dam in apparitions from the school children who haunt the tunnels. Mists around the whirlpools reportedly follow people around. And some unlucky visitors have even felt ghostly hands reach out and touch them from the whirlpool. And they are sometimes said to have children reach out of the whirlpool and grab people as well.
Oof.
Could these hands be the Cherokee ancestors? Kai says, maybe.
Who knows?
Hard to say.
I don't think I would get that close to the Big Suck nowadays. I mean, I'm pretty old.
Oh, so obviously. Listen, you've been married for a while now. I think you'd get pretty close to the Big Suck.
Just to see.
Come on.
You know. I mean, I paid for the tour.
That's right.
Yeah.
Let's see. Kai also has some photos here. Was he some photos of the dam being built?
Love to.
You fucking nerd. I'd have passed on this in a heartbeat, but fine. Here you go.
Okay. Looks like stuff getting built.
Stuff getting built.
Mm-hmm. Very greeny.
Yeah.
There's the Derek. There's obviously. Derek.
Yeah. This. Okay. I can see so this Derek falls could, over. I guess that's yeah. gonna. Okay.
Yeah.
Derek's a big boy. Don't know what this is.
Mm-hmm.
Just some stuff.
It's a lot like evidence photos.
More stuff.
It's a lot like evidence of like, this is why we all died.
Now, this looks like a disaster area here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I'm seeing a lot of bamboo. Should I be seeing this much bamboo?
I don't think so. It's Tennessee. I don't think.
Yeah.
I don't think you see any bamboo, frankly. yeah.
What interesting.
Else? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Wouldn't want to be anywhere near here.
No, this looks like very bad construction.
Yeah.
Very bad construction. Kaya has a little coda here. Extra notes that aren't really ghostly. The original bid to complete the dam was for $1.5 million in a two-year contract. But they had so many issues, went through so many different companies who attempted to complete the project, the job would eventually cost over $10 million and took 8 years to complete.
Boy.
And that is the story of the big suck.
Sure, it was worth it.
And, yeah, I bet. why did they do this dam again? Do we? What was the point of this?
Give people something to do. Yeah, you know, I mean,
I need a job for 8 years, so I am going to start pushing people into the cement and see what happens. And oh man. Well, that is the tragic story of the Hales Bar Dam and Lock.
Whew. Quite a thing.
You know, I've read some other haunted dams. We're gonna do a suite of dam stories soon, and we'll see which one's the most haunted. We'll see. What are you looking at? Oh, you're Googling something.
Nothing.
Pornhub.com, the big suck.
Yeah, definitely not. Definitely not. Definitely eyes. Not.
All right.
Hang on.
I like where this is going. Hales Bar Dam obliterated the suck 110 years ago. Tennessee history for kids.
I'm not even going to read the whole article. I just wanted you to know. That apparently,
you want me to know that you stumbled upon the evidence of the reasons why Tennessee's educational standing is like 47th in the country.
Hey, you know, at least Missouri is worse.
So. I guess true. I guess congratulations. Man, you can't write a kid's article about the big suck.
Mm-mm. No. Kids have all kinds of questions. I got no answers.
I have answers that parents are not going to want to hear. No. Oh, boy. Well, I guess that's it for tonight and for the big suck. Is This a Ghost is a Smith Show Media production. The notes were not taken by me, Clayton Smith. They were taken by Kai Valonis, who's also our social media manager. Thank you so much, Kai, for your help here. Great story. The jokes, all the funny ones, they were from Patrick Dean. Our audio editor is Jeremy Montoya. Our video editor is Jen Swanson. And I wouldn't go near this. I wouldn't go near any dam, to be totally honest. I don't trust him.
No matter how much it sucks.
No, Patrick. No matter how much it sucks, stay away. God did not mean for water to be dammed up. And certainly did not mean for anything to get sucked ever. And as a devout religious human, I feel very comfortable saying that. So don't go sucking or getting sucked anywhere. Because if you do, then God will strike you dead and you will be probably the next ghost. On the next episode of Is This a Ghost?